Welcome to this special episode of Royally Screwed. My name is Chris Shearer, and usually I would be talking about some of the best, worst, and most bizarre rulers throughout history. But the regular show is on a break, and it's the holiday season, so I want to talk about something related to this joyous time of year. But first things first, happy holidays one and all. Whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Yule, or any other day of spiritual or religious meaning, I hope it's a good one for you and yours. So, what's on the docket for today? Well, we're going to be talking about the song Good King Wenceslas. If you grew up in a place that celebrates Christmas, especially in a religious sense, you've probably heard this song, or at least know the melody. To me, it always seems like it belongs in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol or any other sort of Victorian England era set story in the winter. This makes sense considering the song was written by an Englishman in the mid-1800s. But who is this good King Wenceslas? Well, while there were in fact a few monarchs of the Kingdom of Bohemia named Wenceslas, the song isn't about a king at all. It's about Saint Wenceslas, who was Duke of the Duchy of Bohemia. Both the Duchy and the Kingdom of Bohemia were situated in the modern-day nation of the Czech Republic, with the western half of the nation still being referred to as the region of Bohemia. Duke Wenceslas was known for his piety and considered a martyr in Christianity. Due to all of this, he was posthumously recognized as a king by Holy Roman Emperor Otto I. We'll be taking a look at the brief life of this saintly duke and then figure out how he became enshrined within Christian legend. Eventually, that will all culminate in the creation of the song we know and possibly love. So sit back and take a load off for this installment of Royally Special, Out of Legend, Good King Wenceslas. I'll be honest, I think I'm an alright singer, but I've never recorded myself singing before and don't want to start here. So instead, I'll just read out the lyrics to the song. So here's Good King Wenceslas, written by John Mason Neal in 1853. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou knowest telling. Yonder peasant, who is he, where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes's fountain. Bring me bread and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine, when we bear him thither. Page and monarch forth they went together, through the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod, which the saint had printed. Therefore every man be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing. Wenceslas was born in what is now the Czech city of Stokov in 907. His father was Duke Vratislav of the Premyslid dynasty, who had been ruling over Bohemia for about 50 years by that point. The Premyslid dynasty had recently been converted to Christianity during the time of Wenceslas' grandparents. His mother, Drahumira, was from a pagan tribe known as the Heveli. Though she had converted to Christianity upon her marriage to Vratislas, Drahumira was jealous of her mother-in-law's influence over Wenceslas, who made sure that the future duke was tutored deeply within the Christian faith. Now, technically, the title we call duke for the Bohemians was actually called gnija in Czech. This word is related to many other similar Slavic words which we translate into a variety of different titles from prince to duke to king depending on the time and place it was used. A similar title was even used by the Russian rulers before they decided to start using Tsar under Ivan the Terrible. When Vratislas died in 921, Wenceslas became the new Duke of Bohemia. Unfortunately, he was only 13 years old, meaning his grandmother, Ludmilla, served as regent at the time of his ascension. About half a year after Ludmilla became regent, Drahomira hired assassins to assassinate her mother-in-law. Though originally buried in a church in the town of Tetin, Wenceslaus eventually had her body moved to St. George's Basilica in Prague. Duke Radislaus had commissioned the basilica to be built, so it only made sense to have her buried there. Under Drahomira's reign, Christians throughout Bohemia were persecuted, with many being sent into exile. After 5 years, when Wenceslaus turned 18, the remaining Christian nobles staged a coup against Drahomira in order to put Wenceslaus in full control of the duchy. With his mother sent into exile, young Wenceslaus was able to take full control of his lands. His immediate goals were to bring control and cooperation back to Bohemia while also helping to spread Christianity. Unfortunately, things were not able to go smoothly thanks to everyone else around Bohemia. Around the same time Wenceslaus was born, the nation of Moravia fell due to weak leaders being attacked by the newly emerging Magyars, aka Hungarians. During his reign, Wenceslaus was faced with countless Magyar raids from the east. From the west, the Duke faced pressure from King Henry of East Francia, who also ruled over Saxony in Germany. Henry had managed to push into the lands north of Bohemia, where Drahomira had actually been from, and was subjugating the local Slavic tribes. Wenceslaus' father had kept the Saxons at bay thanks in part to an alliance with his immediate western neighbor, the Bavarians. Duke Arnulf of Bavaria, also called Arnulf the Bad or Arnulf the Wicked, was defeated by Henry and the Saxons in 921, forcing the Duke to switch sides. Also, his epithet had nothing to do with this story, but I think it's funny to see how it aligns with his role as antagonist to Wenceslaus. The Duchy of Bohemia had been paying tribute to East Francia for several decades by this point, but Wenceslaus stopped this practice after Arnulf's betrayal. Well, in 929, Arnulf and Henry invaded Bohemia and attacked the city of Prague. After their victory, Wenceslaus was forced to start paying the tribute once more. This was especially beneficial to Henry, who was paying tribute to the Magyars, who Wenceslaus was also fighting back. And the result? Well, things just kinda continued going on as normal. Bohemia wasn't taken into the powers of Saxony, Bavaria, or East Francia. There were just more German priests since the older Slavic traditions had kinda fallen into disuse. So yeah, things were seemingly fine. Well, seemingly. Behind the scenes, a coalition of nobles were very unhappy that Wenceslaus had once more become subservient to Saxony. This group decided to rally behind the Duke's younger brother, Boleslav. In late September of 935, Boleslav invited his brother to his fortress that is now situated in the modern Czech paired towns of Brandus nad Labem Stará Boleslav, I hope I said that right, and which, yes, is named after Boleslav. The invitation was under the pretense of celebrating the feast of Saints Cosmas and Damian. After Wenceslaus' arrival, three nobles popped out and started stabbing the Duke. According to the popular story around his death, Boleslav decided this wasn't enough and ran his brother through with a lance. So, on the 28th of September, 935, at just 28 years old, Duke Wenceslaus died. Boleslav took over as Duke of Bohemia. And despite that grim and awful beginning to his reign, after all, fratricide is a pretty big deal, Boleslav is also actually remembered as a good leader who strengthened his realm. Almost immediately after his death, Duke Wenceslaus was being venerated as a martyr. Not much later, he was being called a saint. Within a few decades, Wenceslaus had several biographies written about him that venerated the Duke as a man of great faith and kingly strength. When Otto I became the first Holy Roman Emperor, at least the German version, sorry Charlemagne, he decided that Wenceslaus' faith and strength should make him actually be remembered as a king. European Christian rulers in the later medieval era even started looking up to Wenceslaus as a symbol for how they should rule. In 1119, historian Cosmas of Prague wrote about the stories he had heard about the Duke, insisting that it was common for Wenceslaus to get up in the middle of the night, walk barefoot down the road, and give money to the local churches, widows, orphans, and even people in prison. This story became so popular that Pope Pius II, who was pope in the mid-15th century, spoke about how these stories were actually historic truth. The hymn St. Wenceslaus' Chorale was written in the 12th century and has remained popular in the Czech Republic ever since. When the nation of Czechoslovakia was formed in 1918, the hymn was suggested as the nation's national anthem. September 28th is the feast day of St. Wenceslaus, and this is a public holiday in the Czech Republic, also called Statehood Day. This holiday often involves pilgrimages to Brandes nad Labem Stará Boleslav and a parade that will include the bones of Wenceslaus himself. But of course, a figure like Wenceslaus would come to garner further legends. A story written in the late 10th century tells a tale about how Duke Wenceslaus, referred to as a king in the narrative, faces a rebellion against his reign by a count named Radislaus. However, when the count met Wenceslaus on the field of battle, he saw that the king was flanked by two angels. When Wenceslaus commanded Radislaus to stop, the count fell to his feet and begged for forgiveness. King Wenceslaus forgives the count, and the rebellion is put to rest. Another legend makes Wenceslaus a king under the mountain. This is a common legend in many cultures that suggests a powerful ruler, be it Wenceslaus or someone like King Arthur, is actually not dead but just in a comatose state under a mountain, waiting for a moment of extreme peril to rise up and fight for their nation. In these stories, Wenceslaus is lying in wait with an army under Mount Blanik. A variation of the legend says that a statue of Wenceslaus on horseback in Prague will suddenly come to life and lead the troops under Blanik in combat when the Czech Republic needs them most. Alright, we've learned about the man and his legends. We've heard the lyrics to the song. But let's now actually talk about Good King Wenceslaus. The history of the song actually goes much further back than even the life of the man who wrote it. The song that would provide the melody Good King Wenceslaus uses is a 13th century song called Tempus Adis Floridum, which translates to Easter time is coming. That's right, it wasn't even a Christmas carol. This song was eventually written down in Finland in 1582 in the book Piae Cantiones, which was a book of hymns and other songs that were to be used in church and also in schools for educational purposes. Now we can fast forward to the 1800s. John Mason Neale was an English priest and hymn writer. During his studies at the University of Cambridge, he was influenced by the new Oxford movement in the Church of England. This was a way of thinking among some Anglican clergy that developed in the 1830s with the belief that the Anglican Church needed to acknowledge its Catholic roots and bring back some more Catholic ideas, such as the veneration of saints and musicality in church ceremonies. In 1849, Neale wrote a collection of stories revolving around saints that was meant for children. One of these stories was about Saint Wenceslaus. The tale tells about how Wenceslaus was out on a cold winter night, followed by one of his pages. The young boy complained about the cold and how it hurt his feet to walk in the snow. Wenceslaus calmly told the boy to follow in his footsteps, for his feet have already melted the snow. The boy looked down and saw that Wenceslaus spoke the truth. This story seems to be based on the legends of Duke Wenceslaus waking up in the middle of the night to give money to the downtrodden. In 1853, Neale was given a copy of the Piae Cantiones. He decided to adapt the melody of Tempus Adis Floridum for an original song and chose to rewrite his short story about Wenceslaus and his page. Neale's editor, his choirmaster named Thomas Helmore, suggested adding a line about St. Stephen's Day, aka the day after Christmas, aka the day this episode comes out. so that the song could also be played then. The song was not always very popular, and it certainly had its detractors. Several people in the early 20th century criticized the song as nonsensical and derided Neil for changing the lyrics to a song that was originally meant for Easter. But time has proven those people relatively wrong, as Good King Wenceslas is still sung every year, I would assume, for everyone getting in the holiday spirit. And of course, it would reach the greatest height any song can hope to reach when it was used in the 1992 movie The Muppet Christmas Carol. But that's it for this episode of Royally Special. Be sure to subscribe to the show and tell a friend all about it. Regular episodes of the show will return on the 5th of January. I hope you'll join me then for another topsy-turvy look into history's most interesting rulers.